Ty Robinson.
Mr. Josh.
You texted me like 2 days ago, and you're like, hey, I'm listening to the podcast. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've never had you on that podcast.
Yeah, I think you were talking to having David on, and I was like, what, when am I going to get my invite? And then you said, do you want on? And then nothing came of it. And then yesterday, I was listening to the one when you interviewed Alexis, and I was like, I'm digging it. You said some things that I didn't necessarily agree with
because there was some controversy. I found them
funny. Oh yeah, there was some controversy, but it was fun nonetheless. So
are you just gonna leave that there? You're gonna leave the controversy? You're gonna keep it secret? You're not gonna reveal?
I mean, do you want me to read it out loud? Because I think it's a pretty funny comment.
All right, go for it. Expose me.
All right, you said anything small is adorable to a girl. And that's, I find pretty funny because you can make quite a few jokes
What jokes would you make? I don't understand. I believe, why don't you just tell me what emojis were sent with this text message?
I did one that's like, kind of like the concerned face. Like you have like the little teardrop, but it's like at like forehead level. So it's like, you know? Right. And then also the eggplant emoji, because like, you know, anything small is cute to a girl. So, oops.
It was a worthy call out. It was good. You kept me humble. I'm glad you brought it up. And I did not, people get real defensive. They're like, oh man, you didn't have me on the pod. Like there must be some sort of beef or like something like that. And it was like, nah, dude, like everything hit the fan at Thanksgiving break. I'm just like, I was gluing things together. But you're here now, and that's what's important.
That's what I'm about. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
We're in the present. Sy Robinson, do you remember how we met?
Not particularly, because I put you on my committee after you had applied. And so I went back and actually like looked at your application.
Yeah.
That was part of the preparation for this thing. Because I don't remember like in person when we actually met, because I don't know if I saw you around during Weeks of Welcome, because you came in with the freshmen because you were
right
fresh off the mish coming back.
Yep.
So like I don't know, I can't recall when we met in person.
The only thing,
probably at a meeting. That's the only thing that I could think of.
So the only thing notable about it was that I was doing President's Cabinet and I was worried about like school in general. And you were like, hey, you should do Activities Committee. And I was like, oh man, I don't know, I'm pretty busy. And you're just like, all right, like BS, like let's talk about it if you're so worried about it. I was like, oh freak. So then we actually like met in person and I asked you like, I think we got to like two questions deep before I was like, yeah, I could probably just do this. It's fine. it was like, oh yeah. Like, I don't know. Can I have time? You're like, well, I don't know. Can you make it to the meetings? I'm like, yeah, probably. And you're like, okay. And could you be at the activities? Like, yeah. I'm like, okay. So like, yeah, you could totally do it. I was like, oh man, I'm an idiot.
Okay. Yes. It's coming back to me.
And then we did Activities Committee. We went off, threw some baller parties out there.
Best ones on this side of the Mississippi.
I'll take it. Sure. I don't know.
Much safer than Castle Manor. Just kidding. Can I say that? Is that like, is that controversial?
Definitely controversial, but that's what we're here for. We're here for the heat. I'm glad that
we're not even on the hot takes yet.
Yeah. No, look, I don't do subtweets. So like, I'm glad that like we added, you know, like at least like they're outed. We can just address the elephant in the room. So yeah, then we did Activities Committee together, and now you're doing Series Committee. How's that? I mean, so it's weird. I feel weird asking you about how the switch is from Activities Committee to Series, considering it's like Activities to COVID Series. You know what I mean? But like, I don't know. Yeah. How's that been like?
Oh, it's been odd. It's been good. It's been fun. Like, definitely a lot more challenges and a lot more like, how are we going to make this actually function during COVID days? I mean, it's probably for the best that I went from like Activities to Series, because I was used to like having the couple thousand people parties. And so like, if we were to scale that down to COVID regulated size, that's just a series event. So
so it's basically, you basically would have made the same transition either way.
Yeah. So I, it's been fun. It's been really good. I mean, trying to figure out how to do things, always a wild time. Good learning experience.
Yeah. Are you, so I think this is kind of interesting. Like, are you interested in event planning, like as a career? Did you just get into it because Utah State is so fun? Or like, how, what's like, where do you kind of stand on all that? Like,
oh no. I mean, I've never really considered it as a career option. I don't think that's really for me.
Sure.
Mostly because, like, I mean, if I did event planning for like a company, maybe, but if it was like small time events, like people's weddings, like I am the most, I'm the least color coordinated, know how to make things look good. Like, I'm not that kind of person.
Yeah.
So I haven't really thought of it as like a way to go, but I came to Utah State having followed a girl, and then she broke up. So that's whatever. So then I was
R.I.P.
like, I don't know anybody, so I'm just gonna throw myself out there. I did Aggie Blue, which I would recommend for like anybody who wants to get involved.
And I would recommend that for anybody coming to Utah State. It's just a good way to have like friends coming in.
Oh yeah, I definitely agree. And at least like it opens you up to getting to know people other than like your roommates.
Right.
So you could be like on campus and you're like, hey, you look familiar. No clue who you are, but a friendly face is a happy face. So.
Like a smile in a normal year, a high five. Yeah, especially like, I think Aggie Blue is like the ultimate antidote to like, I go home every weekend to just chill with my family. Like if you go to Aggie Blue, like you don't have to. Like, bam, you have friends. You at least have like somewhere that you could be. But
yeah, so I did Aggie Blue and then just kind of threw myself into any sort of application, any sort of extracurricular that I could, and then wound up getting onto Blue Crew. And from there, just kind of stuck in the events office and
I never left.
Went from Blue Crew to Blue Crew and Activities Committee to Activities Director. Now I'm Series Director. So,
yeah, I mean, you're going to be like a 10th year senior. So like, what are you going to, you're just going to cover all your bases? You're going to try to do every single USUSA position? Is that, what's the move?
Oh yeah, you know, I'm not graduating anytime soon. You know, I'll go for president, and then maybe I'll go for a senator. Maybe I'll go for, no, I'm
a senator. That'd be hilarious.
That'd be wild. That would
be such a power dynamic in that room. Like you're like an academic senate, and you're just like looking at the president. You're like, yeah, that was me. I know everything that you're doing right now.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
What are you? How is English major treating you? How's that going?
Oh, it's wild. Especially when I get paired up or like in classes where people are like hardcore have wanted to do English their entire life. Like they're going to be the next great American author. And I'm just like, I like stories. The only reason I'm here.
Are you creative writing?
Yeah, I creative mining. Writing and
mining. Creative mining. It's actually just Minecraft. You just play Minecraft all day. It's creative mining. Yeah. But so my dad was a creative writing major, and he's written zero books so far, and he's had a totally healthy career and stuff, but it's funny, like it just kind of took him a different way. I do think that's true though, that it's like it's really half and half. Like you get like half the English majors are like diehards, and then the other half are like, I'm just happy to be here. Like, I don't even know. like, what's that like? I mean, so you're rewriting papers and like reading tons of books. Like, how's that going? What's the
problem? I mean, it really depends on like the English class. Some professors are like book, 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 paper, paper, paper. And then there's been some classes, and like, we'll spend so long on like three books. Like the entire semester is three books, and then it's like, and I mean, you could write a response to this, or you could just bring in like your own creative work and we'll just critique it and we'll just like hang out. And like, those are the best classes because it's literally like low stress. It's like, hey, here's my trashy piece of fiction. Tell me what's good about it and tell me what's bad about it. Cause I know it's all bad. And then right. People just like, blow smoke at you. They're like, I really liked how you said this particular word in this particular sentence. And I'm like, and my word choice is really getting me through this English class. So it's fun. I love the English major. It's a party.
What percentage of the books that you're reading are mind-crushingly depressing?
Oh.
Is it like
I don't know if
high 90s?
No, I mean, I feel like it's a good mix. It really depends on like the professor. Like some professors I feel like are in there to bum you out. They're just like, read this. It was written in the 20s and it's all about like everything that was good about the world, and then all of it just like comes crashing down, and now you're like in the Great Depression, and you're like, okay, yeah, like, you know, it's called the Great Depression for some reason, right? And then it's like, yeah, because it's really making me quite down. I don't know. I mean, really depends on the professor. I had one, and we did a deep dive on Toni Morrison.
Ooh.
She's a fantastic author. Like, highly recommend her for, like, anybody. But some of her works are very heavy and, like, hard to get through. But honestly, so fantastic. Very, very recommended.
Have you ever read a separate piece?
No, I have not.
Cool. Do you want me to just spoil the whole book for you right now? Or is...
Oh, yeah. Go for it.
Like... All right, cool. So, hot take. Separate Piece is the worst book on the planet Earth. It's, like, the most depressing thing I ever read. I read it when I was, like, 15, 16, and I was, like literally depressed. Like, I don't – because, you know, people say literally all the time. Like, moping around for, like, 3 or 4 days after, just, like, wow. Like, what is wrong with life? And it's about, like, this guy whose best friend is, like, a super, like, awesome athlete swimmer. And they go to this tree where, like, you're supposed to jump off the tree and into the river. And it's, like, this fun little spot. But you have to jump. Like, if you don't jump, there's rocks below and, like, you can get hurt. And so, like, this guy pushes his best friend out of this tree. And, like, he becomes crippled because it's, like, way back when, before medicine was very good. And – but the friend doesn't know that he pushed him. He just thought that he fell. So then, like, the friend, like, continues to be friends. Like, the athlete friend – just continues to be friends with our main character. And like the main character is going through like all these, like this grief. And then finally the end of the book is that all of his other friends figure out that he pushed him. And they have like this like friend grand jury where they're like, yo, he pushed you out of that tree. And then like the athlete friend like maintains his positive attitude. He's like, no, like he'd never do that. And he storms out and then he falls down the stairs because he's a cripple and he dies. That is the whole book right there. And it is the worst. I was so mad when I finished.
Yeah. That, oh, geez.
I'm still upset.
Yeah, that took a very dark turn.
No, it was the worst. And I was like, just like, why did I read this for sophomore year honors English? Like, I'm 14. Like, what? Anyway, it was the worst. Sai, you are from Blackfoot, Idaho. What is
the armpit face? Of Idaho?
Armpit. It's called foot. How are you going to compare one part of the body to the other right now?
I that's just what it is. It is the armpit of Idaho. Like in the panhandle. I mean, I'm from Idaho. Like I have a love-hate relationship with it. But like in the panhandle, you're basically Washington or you're basically Oregon. And then you get down into like the bottom square part and you have like a couple of mountain ranges. If you're tucked up against the mountains, you're fine. It's green, it's lush, it's great. And then you get to little old Blackfoot. We're just plain flat ground with like 4 different potato producing plants. And it smells during harvest. Like it just smells like an armpit. Like it's harvest. Just bad. Yeah.
What are you harvesting? People, potatoes?
Potatoes. Yeah.
Dude, welcome to Idaho. I'm learning so much right now.
Yeah, the high school closest to us, they actually got like a month off before harvest. Like they had, it wasn't like fall break. It was harvest break, and it was like an entire month long. And everybody just like had jobs, and you would go and work the fields, make some money, and then go back to school.
That is the coolest thing I've ever heard. That is so sweet. Like what? Like if I was in high school, even if I just had a job at like Jamba Juice, like now I got to work like full-time hours at Jamba Juice. I like make a ton of money, and then I come back. I'm like lighting it up and going to lunch every day or break. What was that?
I wish we had a Jamba Juice in Blackfoot. Blackfoot is like McDonald's and Wendy's and just fast food restaurants. Nothing classy, nothing a little more high end. It's just straight fast food.
We don't need classy. We're here for I could live off that.
I could go with some Jamba Juice. That's what I could go for.
Dude, honestly, am I gonna go to Jamba Juice after this podcast? Like I'm thinking about it pretty hard. Blackfoot, Idaho. So like what was the high school called?
Blackfoot High School.
What was your mascot?
The Broncos.
Blackfoot Broncos. Are hooves all black? I guess all hooves are black, so that checks out, right? So like they actually do have black feet?
I don't know. I'm like the most city slicker person who came from Blackfoot, Idaho. I know nothing about farm animals. I don't know anything about agriculture. I don't know anything. Like I'm as city slicker as rural Idaho can make, I swear.
Do you like is that the insult if you're from Idaho and you think somebody's too soft, you call them a city slicker?
I don't know. That was never really tossed around. Like I'd probably be proud to be called a city slicker. I'd be like, heck yeah, like get me out of the potato fields. I don't want them. I mean, I'll take your potatoes, but I don't want the potato fields.
Yeah, the potatoes themselves are great.
So, like, if I was a city slicker.
I agree. You don't have slick back hair, but I agree that you are a city slicker. Where did your Instagram handle is Psymaster? What's the deal there? Like, what did your mom call you that growing up? Like, did you invent that when you were 13? Like, where?
No, that comes from my uncle or my uncles. I don't know if just one of my uncles called me Psymaster. Like, what's up, Psymaster? So when you're like a little 3 or 4 year old, you're like, yeah, this is cool. I am a master. I'm the best. And then that just kind of like stuck around. And then, yeah, when I was like 12, I like made a Yahoo account. And so my Yahoo was like Psymaster@yahoo.com. And then it's just kind of stuck around for every other handle.
I love those, the 11-year-old emails. We should play a game. That should be like a running podcast segment. Because like my 11-year-old email was Lego Davis, like LEGO, because I loved Legos. And I think it was literally so that I could get like a Lego.com account. Like I was like, it's like, Dad, I wanna play like these games. Like, let me use your email. He's like, no, I don't want to let you use my email. Freaking Lego.com. So finally, like, made me an email. And I rocked that for like 3 years before I was like, this, you're too old. Like, this is ridiculous.
But oh, that's funny.
Do you still roll with it? Is that still your email?
Not Yahoo. I made a Gmail at the same thing. So it's now Psymaster@gmail.com. and I'll probably just keep running with that because, like, why the heck not?
Yeah, no, I mean, feel that.
I'm sure I'll make one that's, like, just my name so that I could put it on resumes and be, like, professional. But
the way that Cy is moving his head as he's saying all these things about being professional and, like, upgrading his email, there's, like, just this little side shimmy. Very, very much adult, very professional. I love it.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely putting out some, like, some air quotes, like, professional.
Big audio air quotes coming out right here. I just want to throw this in here. You were like, so people say the word stud a lot. I feel like there's like, it's an interesting word because like, I think it's a legit compliment, but like some people use it as like a buddy context where they're like, oh, hey, stud. And it's like suddenly it turns condescending. But in the complete compliment of the word, I just want to say you are the stud. Like, you are the epitome of the word stud. Like, if I could summarize Cy Robinson, it's like, yeah, that's it. There it is. We did it.
Oh, I appreciate that. I'm, like, blushing, I swear. Like, are you seeing this? I'm a little red. We're on a Zoom call, but, like, I'm rosy-cheeked.
I just want to throw that in there because I don't feel like – I feel like the people are going to hear your Idaho takes and be like, man, this guy's from Idaho. He's a city slicker Idahoan. Like, what? Who even is he? I just want to clarify. So that's the best. I appreciate it. If you like movies, music, or TV better. You said movies. It seemed like mostly out of fear of your of revealing your music taste. So we're going to get to that in a moment. What movies are you watching these days? Like, what are you up to? I mean, pandemic has opened up a lot of hours. What are you, is there like some prime movie content you're going to?
I don't know. My go-to viewing consumption is like YouTube. Like, I just go to YouTube, but if I want to like sit down and watch a movie at like the end of the day, I just find something that looks interesting on Netflix and then I watch it regardless of how bad I think it's going to be. So like I found that to be really enjoyable. Like, nothing in particular. Like, I love like kind of bad horror movies or horror movies that are like shot on a budget.
Oh, Netflix has got plenty of those.
Oh yeah. And that has been very fun because you're like, okay, is this going to be a solid horror movie or am I just going to be like laughing myself like out of breath because it's just so poor.
So you're a big horror guy.
I love horror movies.
Oof! You're going all Edgar Allan Poe on me. You're an English major. You love horror stuff like this. You know, no, tell me that he's pulling out an Edgar Allan Poe book right now. What is it? Oh my gosh! He has all of them.
It's the complete works, and it's like 1,000 pages. It's just a big book I bought from Barnes and Noble for pretty cheap. I've never used it.
Dude, I have so many books where I'm like, yeah, I'm very educated on these things. I'm like, never read them. I got like 50 pages deep. I'm like, just kidding. I like that rule though. There's a lot of discipline there and just forcing yourself through bad Netflix content. I can never do it. I never manage it, but like I respect it. Is there one that's like stuck out that's been especially awful or like especially or like recommendable maybe at least?
Okay, the one I'm going to like recommend, it definitely takes some dissecting. It's called I'm Thinking of Ending Things.
Oh, this is a good one. I've heard good things about this.
It's very good. It's kind of strange and you're not really sure like what's going on. Like a lot of things keep changing and you're like, wait, like 2 seconds ago, this is how it was and now I'm being told something different.
This is a big English major choice by you. Like, just go into a movie that's like all archetypal and like very thematic and lots of motifs going on. But all right, keep going. Tell me, pitch this movie to me.
Oh, goodness gracious. So basically, it's like a psychological thriller. It's kind of a horror-esque movie. But like the main character you follow is this like college lady and her new boyfriend, and the new boyfriend is kind of odd. You're like, I don't know if I like him or if I don't like him. Like he puts off vibes where you're like, okay, he seems really sweet, but simultaneously you're kind of put off by him. And they're on this trip to his parents' house. So then you get to the parents' house and they all like sit down to have dinner and like weird things keep happening. Like the mom keeps bringing up the boyfriend's past as like a little kid. And it's like, oh, you were so good at Trivial Pursuit. And like, you're just such a smart little guy and just the most amazing person ever. And then things start getting weird. Like the dinner itself is weird enough. And then they like go and sit in the living room. And then like the mom is all of a sudden a lot older. And you're like, wait, what happened? Where are things going? And I don't know. I'd recommend it.
So that's like the opening. And then from there, it just kind of snowballs. Like that's the.
Yeah. From there, it kind of just like snowballs into like odder and weirder things. And then by the end of the movie, you kind of ask yourself, what did I just watch? And I watched it with my roommate and I was like, okay, give me your spin. Give me your take. And he talked for like 5 minutes. He's like, I have no clue what was going on. I don't know what the characters, I don't know any of their names. Like, none of this makes sense. And then I went off on like a 20-minute rant about what I thought everything meant and like all the motifs. And I was like, here's what was actually happening. And then we watched YouTube videos trying to explain it. And I was sort of right. So I was proud about that.
You're sort of right. I love those movies, but then like I also hate them because I feel like well executed, you're like, oh, this is great. But then like some of them just like straight up abandoned storytelling. Like I don't do like avant-garde, like that level of movies where it's like, let's just make it make no sense on purpose, and that's the genius. I'm like, okay, all right, like you lost me. Like no, like that's not a thing. But so is that movie in that ballpark? Like are we in the like it makes no sense, but that's the point, or is it more like is there enough going on that I'm actually gonna care?
There's enough going on that it will keep you questioning what's happening. Like at one point, there's a dance sequence put to like classical music.
I've seen this. I've seen that part of it. It was like on an Instagram story, or maybe it was the trailer. And I was like, what's going on here? So like, that's why I was really confused about this movie.
Like it's odd enough. It's an odd enough sequence of events that you'll keep watching. It's not one of those things where you're like, hey, I'm so lost, I'm just going to turn this off. And by the end of the movie, you're left with more questions and you really need to dissect it. And so I kind of enjoy that. So if you have a roommate that you're willing to like discuss movies with and like spitball stupid ideas,
yeah,
watch it with them and then talk about the movie. If you're watching it on your own, you're probably going to be like, yeah, this is so odd and so weird, I don't like it, I'm turning it off. It's like on the edge of the avant-garde.
So we're just going to make it no sense. We're flirting with it. It's like it's legit. It's legit edgy. We got some edgy teens out here.
Oh yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm scared for this movie, but I'll probably still watch it though. Are you so you're a big horror guy. Do you like, so is horror your favorite genre then for sure?
I feel like horror I always get enjoyment out of, because if it's done poorly, it's basically a comedy. If it's done well, it's a solid horror movie. So like you can't really lose. Like the horror I don't like is when it's all just gore, like Chainsaw Massacre or Saw. I don't get behind those. Like, I'm kind of a squeamish guy, going back to my city slickerness.
Have you seen Midsommar?
I did see Midsommar. I don't know if you want me to provide my commentary on it, but I would like to hear what you have to say first.
I regret watching it. I have a lot to change, and I would even say repent for after watching that movie. But it's interesting. Like I see that it's up to something, but at the same time, I'm like, okay, like, so I ended up looking up this director after the fact. And now that I'm more familiar with him, his name's Ari Aster. That guy is the most satanic, messed up, terrible director that ever existed. So that gave a lot more context to like why that movie is so bizarre. And like,
did horrific. You watch Hereditary before watching Midsommar?
No, I haven't. So then after watching that movie, I put a ban on watching that guy forever. My girlfriend's like, oh, but I heard Hereditary is good. So I'm like, all right, well, I don't care about horror movies, so I'm Googling this plot. And then I looked up the plot of Hereditary, and I'm like, this is the most satanic, depressing, horrible piece of film that I could ever conceive, let alone make. Like, if I was like in a room, like, make me make the worst, saddest movie ever. Like Hereditary, I would have been short of Hereditary. I wouldn't have even made it. I would have been like somewhere in the ballpark. So like I'm conflicted because I think he has a lot of talent, and I think that movie captures a lot of really really good acting, which is like weird for a horror movie. Like that's not, you know, not a pattern with horror movies. But like it's beautifully shot, the themes are really well done and executed. But at the end of the day, like, this is like a satanic horror film. So, like, where am I at? Like, this is just not my spot. But also, that's not my spot. So, you give me your thoughts. What are your Midsommar thoughts?
So, yeah, like, Ari Aster, I'm not a huge fan of. Like, my sister watched Hereditary and gave it rave reviews. Like, she was like, Sai, you need to see this because I know you like horror. Like, this will be right up your alley. And I watched it, and it has some of the best scenes in horror. But overall, I think it's an average horror film. Like, I've never felt the need to go back again and again to it. And I was even more let down with Midsommar.
Interesting.
I think Midsommar is, I'm most intrigued because it's a horror film that is very light in nature. Or, yeah, like, it's light as in, yeah. Like, there's always, the sun is always up.
That's the and whole idea, yeah, yeah.
I feel like that's really interesting. Like, having a horror that doesn't solely derive the horror from, like, dark and broody, I think that's really interesting. I don't know if I necessarily love the execution of it. I think it was far too long of a film.
Yeah.
And some of it just kind of dragged for a while. And then I left the theater thinking, is this what I wanted to be doing for the last 2.5 hours?
I mean, dude, the scene, you know what scene I'm talking about, but the scene, it's like 8 minutes long. It's like, what are we doing? And, but so my question to you as an English major, and because I think inheriting this from my dad and my parents, like, storytelling is really important for me. And so that's usually where I have a lot of beef with horror, where I'm like, okay, I just don't care. Like, cause like, there's no, it's not actually a story. It's just like, let me show you some disturbing things that happened to this lady you don't care about. And then she dies. And you're like, okay, like, don't care. But like, so what is that? Does that matter to you? Is that why you would think that Midsommar and Hereditary aren't great? Like, what, why didn't you like those, I guess?
I'm very, I don't know. I go really back and forth as far as like being very storyteller-esque. Like, I'm very much in it for the story and I want the story to be good. That's why I like Conjuring, because it's not only a horror movie. Like, it's not just we're trying to scare the pants off of you. It's like we're still trying to, we're kind of giving you like a family drama with like the moms.
That one's based on a true story, I think, right?
Yeah, yeah. Loosely. It's loosely based on Super a true loosely. Story. The actual, well, I mean, this isn't directly related, but the Annabelle doll was actually like a Raggedy Ann doll. So like, that's a lot less scary than the actual Annabelle doll they use in the movies. But I feel like a really good horror movie is able to both scare you or unnerve you and still leave you feeling fulfilled at the end of the movie. Like, okay, I just, there was a solid story behind that. It's like a really good story set in the horror genre, as opposed to we're just telling a scary story.
Right. And so I have two examples that I'd like to throw at you. I'm curious to where you'd stand on both of these, if you even think they're horror. But so the first one is, have you seen Invisible Man?
Yes, I have.
What are your thoughts?
I really enjoyed it. I love that there was a little bit of, not ambiguity necessarily, but like unknowing about like aspects of like, is the character dead? Is the character alive? Is she kind of going crazy? Is this like a genuine thing? I felt like that one was good. That was a solid movie. I very much enjoyed it. It was dark when it needed to be dark, but it didn't have to be dark all the time.
Okay. Do you count that in horror, or would you like designate that thriller? Are those separate, or is it just kind of like, are we now in like subgenres? Like, what is that?
I would say that like a thriller is a subgenre of horror. Okay. And I don't know. I saw a distinction at some point, and it's like the difference between a horror movie and a terror movie is like when it hits. Like, are you scared all the time, or does something, I don't know. I look it up on Google. I don't know how to make the distinction. I would say that it's like a psychological thriller, and so it's a subgenre of horror. I wouldn't necessarily, horror is kind of like a catch-all term.
Right. For so you would put thriller as underneath the umbrella of horror.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So then this leads to a really interesting second question. So I really liked Invisible Man because I felt like the story was actually pretty solid. And then I didn't think that invisible people fighting would be interesting, like from like a, because you're like, that just looks stupid. Like, it just looked like somebody getting beat up and just by nothing. I was actually totally wrong. I would watch, after watching this movie, I would watch like a good guy superhero movie about somebody who turned invisible. Like, the action sequences were awesome. Like, it was super cool. Follow up. Where do we stand on 10 Cloverfield Lane? Have you seen that one?
I have not. I apologize. I have not. My roommate, sophomore year, were very big into the entire Cloverfield universe, but we only ever watched the first one.
Okay. So the first one's the 10 Cloverfield Lane is legit good. It's actually the only horror film, if that, you know, talking about the umbrella thriller sort of nonsense, but it's the only scary movie, maybe not only, but it was the first scary movie that I really liked, because there's tons of story, and the way that they do scary and thriller and the payoff, like, I guess, like the end was amazing. So, because basically the whole movie is pinning the questions together of like, is like this guy holding her hostage, or is there actually a threat going on outside, and she's kind of locked in this bunker trying to figure it out, and the payoff's amazing. So I would highly recommend. Do you have a
favorite? I will watch it. A favorite horror movie?
Would your favorite horror movie be your favorite movie? Is that like the same thing, or would it be?
Oh, I don't know if I necessarily have a favorite movie, because I'm honestly like a hoe for movies in general. Like, I will watch anything. Like, if somebody recommends a movie, it may take me a minute to get there, but I will watch it. I love movies. I love film. I love the act of storytelling. And so sometimes movies suck and they don't have good stories, but you can enjoy them cinematically. You can enjoy the jokes. You can enjoy what was attempted at storytelling.
Dude, are you a film minor or what? These are all the things that we've been discussing in my film minor class, like, all semester.
I wish I could do a film minor, but folklore is close enough.
Dude, you should do. So there's a class. It's called Bad Cinema. I recommend.
I've heard of it.
I took it last semester. It was great. They're not teaching it next semester, but keep a lookout, because I think you would love that class. But real quick, we had an hour long debate about Star Wars 8 once. Do you have like a 4-minute explanation of where you stand on Star Wars 7, 8, and 9 that you want to just like lay out for the masses?
Yeah, so I'm going to have to go real quick over this, because over Thanksgiving break, my family's weird and we like did random things for Thanksgiving. We did like a slideshow presentation. You had to like present a slideshow to the family, and mine was rewriting episode 8. And so I have like an entire slideshow presentation that I could give on what 8 could have been in my mind. I think my biggest beef with 8 is that Rose takes Finn on an arc that Finn has already been on. Like, the whole Rose and Finn arc is just reiterating the First Order is bad, and like, you know, we have to fight for what we love. And Finn knows that better than anybody. He was part of the First Order and he chose to leave it. So that entire subplot is absolute booty. Like, is no good. I mean, and it introduced Rose, and I think Rose could have been a cool character, but they just use her so poorly.
She gets written out harsher than I think I've seen anybody written out in a movie in my entire life. Literally the scene in number 9 is like, hey, we're all going. And they all look at Rose and like, hey, we're going. Do you want to come with? And she's like, nah, I'm just going to stay back. I'm going to stay with the queen or whatever. And that's like the last line I think she gives in the movie. And you're like, oh, freak. Like, oh, what a U-turn.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, I feel like 7 was a good start. I think from the beginning, from the get-go, they needed to have an end point, and that never happened. Like, if it would have been the same director for all 3 movies, what they started at 7 would have paid off in 9. But since you switched directors, what started in 7 doesn't ever pay off in any of them, because 8 is a completely separate story. Yeah. And then you bring back the original director, and so
I think the double switch was the real damning thing, where they had Trevorrow set for 9, and then they swapped it back to Abrams. That for me is where you really lost the plot, because that means that like they were so upset about 8 that they decided to try to screw eight. That's basically what that said. I was like, why would you do that? The part in eight that I actually, there's a couple of things with eight that I think are, could be better. I think honestly, if you just have the Emperor laughing at the end of eight and like the whole galaxy hears it, that would be like, that's that enough. It's like, okay. The other thing is like, people talked about Finn getting underutilized in nine. And I think they're right. But I think what gets missed a lot in that is like, he should have just died in eight.
I agree.
He should have just blown up that laser. Like, they should have just let him do that. And like the whole thing where like Rose runs into him. First of all, like, I don't know how that crash went so smoothly. Cause like 90% of the time with like two moving objects crash in Star Wars, it's like everyone dies. But like somehow, like when Rose like crashes this super fast speeder into Finn, it's like, oh, we're good. But like that was probably the first moment. There were a lot of moments in eight where I was like, whoa, this is different, and I kind of like it. And that was the peak moment of the whoa, this is different, where it was like Finn was driving the laser and I was sitting there and I was like starting to get emotional. I'm like, oh, this movie's different. This is actually gonna happen. Like, they're actually just gonna do it. And I was like, holy crap. And then they chickened out. And I was like, well, like, now I don't even know.
What frustrates me most about that entire scene is that after the crash, Finn goes over and is like talking to Rose before she passes out. And she's like, we don't defeat them, or we don't survive by fighting the things we hate. It's by saving the things we love.
Is that what Rose says?
And that's what
really?
Finn is doing. Finn is literally that's what Rose says. Finn is literally driving into the freaking laser cannon thing.
To save all the people
he loves. To save everybody he loves! Oh my gosh. And then Rose is like, no, screw everybody in that bunker. I need you, that one person. So now Rose and Finn, I don't know how they got back to the bunker to begin with, because they're like literally so close to the First Order that two stormtroopers could have just like shot them. Like, they should have been dead, but...
Right.
I don't know. I got a lot of beef with that entire like sequence and how it plays out. I would have been fine if Finn died. I think it would have been better for his character to like, his ultimate sacrifice is him trying to destroy the First Order and save the people he's actually come to love. That's a full character arc there of leaving First Order, finding something to fight for, fighting for them while trying to take out the First Order. Like that, I would have been okay with, but then you got Rose crashing into him, and Rose literally turned around to go back to the bunker, and then all of a sudden she is
in the bunker.
Not in the bunker, like
across the
when Finn is driving towards the cannon, he's so close to hitting it, and then Rose, having turned all the way back, now all of a sudden is up to speed with him and close enough to hit him.
Yeah.
And that just doesn't make any sense. I don't know if this is going to make any good podcast content. I know. This is I'm just rambling.
Very visual.
I'm sorry.
Very visual. No, but I think honestly, like, I think there's a lot of things wrong with the sequels. I think almost all of it is actually in nine. I think you could have had an amazing trilogy if you do seven, eight, and you just do nine rolling with eight. Like, if you just roll with it, like, I think it still flows. But instead, they're like, let's just flip the script. My last major beef, and we got to get off this because, man, people are probably bored of us nerds. But
I love Star Wars, so I could go on and on. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. There's never been a more underutilized villain than the Knights of Ren. Those dudes are like the scariest ever. Every time they come on the screen, so like, because you know, like, there's certain villains where it's like they carry a certain amount of weight. Where I'm like, okay, like, things are gonna happen, but like, probably our main characters are gonna be fine. Like, oh, like, it's okay, like. The villain showed up, but everything will probably be okay. When the Knights of Ren showed up, I had fear. Like, I was genuinely afraid. I'm like, oh, Ish is about to go down. Like, I have no idea if anyone's about to survive. Like, those dudes look like they know what they're doing. And they have, like, one scene. And, like, the whole, maybe two, maybe, like, two scenes in the whole trilogy. It's just an embarrassment.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Knights of Ren were underutilized. I think Phasma went out in such a poor manner. Like, Phasma literally just like falls to her death after like a very brief interaction with Finn. Like, Hux I mean, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the movies, I'm telling you, everybody dies. But yeah. Like Hux betrays the
First Order
in number 9. And Snoke freaking just gets sliced after being told that he's like one of the most powerful beings ever.
Isn't the whole shtick that he's just a puppet from, what's his name? Isn't that the...
Yeah, he's a puppet of Palpatine's, but I don't necessarily agree that Palpatine should have come back, but
that's pretty stupid. Yeah, no, okay, but like going back to that for a second, the I actually liked the Hux twist. So like Abrams does like a couple like double twists. He ends up using too many where like I just get tired at the end. I'm like, well, nothing you show actually is happening. So like I don't believe anything is happening anymore. But I love where it was like, oh, like Hux is a traitor. That's like a huge dub for us. And then Hux dies like 2 scenes later, and you're like, freak, like that double twist was the first one I think in the movie, and it's like nice. You're like, oh shoot, like I was super invested in this, and now it's like it's just gone. But then like they do so many like, is he dead? No, he's not dead. Is he dead? Well, and then like they have so many of those where it's like they show this, but did it happen? Nope. And then it was like, ah, I don't care anymore because nothing happens. Like at the end of the movie, it's like I don't even. It's lame, but
yeah, I wish if they would have gone into like why Hux flips ultimately, I would have believed it a little bit more, but it was just kind of like Hux realizes that he's a bad guy and decides to change.
Yeah, it's pretty, yeah.
I feel like it's kind of weak motivation.
Isn't it because he had beef with Kylo Ren? I don't know. My big problem with that was that like he's sitting in the room and they're like, he's like, we have a traitor among us. I'm like, I've seen Darth Vader read somebody's mind and just start choking him, but you're telling me Kylo Ren just can't tell that like that dude is obviously the traitor and just kill him right there in the room? Like that was pretty lame. But anyway, we got to get off Star Wars. We're going to be here for like another hour and a half. So you said you were afraid of your music. I need you. Do you listen by bands? Are you all over the place? Like what you're afraid of your own music brand. What does that mean?
No, I mean, there's a lot of music that I like that's mainstream, but I don't necessarily like mainstream music. So like my go-to, I don't know if you would classify it as folk or indie or what, but like kind of just really chill vibes. Like that's the kind of music that I really vibe with.
Really chill vibes. Wow. Cy Robinson.
Yeah. I think you recommended somebody to me. I think it was like the Harpers or something.
Harpers.
Like that.
Oh, I love Harpers.
Yeah, you recommended them to me. You're like, folk, like, you'd be into that. And then I listened to them, and I quite enjoy them. So really folk. I love folk music. Folksy vibes, really chill. I also like Watsky. Like, that was my top artist of the Spotify, what is it, Spotify Rewind?
Wrapped,
Spotify
yeah.
Wrapped, yeah.
How do you spell like Watsky? Can we go through this? What is that?
Watsky.
And they're also kind of folksy? They're kind of like Harpers?
No, so it's actually a rapper. And I don't know, every single project just feels much bigger than the previous one. Like he has a 3-song like series in one of his earlier albums, and it tells like a complete story from like a dad's perspective and the son's perspective. And that's very fun to listen to. And then like his 2 newest albums, Complaint and Placement, are going to be part of like a 3-album set. And the last one is Intention. And it's like a play on words because, I don't know, if you look at like the cover art, the way that it's set is like 3 letters and then stacked on top of 3 letters, stacked on top of 3 letters.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to put the 3 albums together and it will spell Complaint, Placement, and Intention using the 3 album covers independent of one another.
Yeah,
so,
that's trippy. I love this.
Really weird. It's
go
ahead. Sorry.
Have you heard of Hobo Johnson?
I've heard of him. I've listened to a handful of his music, but I'm not super familiar with it.
You're not sold? Okay, look, if you like weird storytelling music, Hobo Johnson is really interesting. I can't say that I like him necessarily, but man, like his music is really it's like an interesting It's an interesting.
Does he have a song called Peach Scone?
Yes, and it's hilarious. It's really funny. It's like funny and interesting and like poignant all at the same time. It's like this crazy, and it's like kind of rap, kind of poetry. It's wild, but cool. Real quick, did you ever play sports in high school or at all?
Yes, I did play. I played sports from like a really little. When you're like a little kid, you're basically like forced into every single sport. It's like, okay, you're gonna play soccer. Okay, you're gonna play t-ball. Okay, you're gonna play flag football.
Yeah.
I stuck with football for a little bit.
Really?
Up until like junior year of high school.
Really?
I became irrelevant freshman year of high school. Like, I literally rode the bench sophomore and junior year, and then I said, "Dad, I'm not gonna play football." And he's like, "You're gonna regret it. This is the last time. Senior year, this is like the last time you'll ever play." Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. What did you play? What position?
I was center for a long time. And then I got moved to left guard. And then bench. I rode bench professionally my high school career.
Professionally. Dang. No, that's an intense position, though. That's hard to do. It's not nothing. I mean, just even if you don't play it anymore, like I have – I'm more respect for you knowing that. I'm like scared of you now. I was not scared of you, but now I know they're like, oh freak.
Oh, I can't mess you up, and that's why I rode bench. Everybody on the offensive line were just like, yeah, we need to protect our quarterback, and everybody just goes like so intense, and that's not me at all. I was just like, it's a game, guys. Come on.
Like, I don't care. Yeah, no, I understand not being able to keep up with that speed. Do you follow any sports, or are you just kind of out now? You just whatever.
I mean, I took a curling class in like 3 semesters ago. Absolutely recommend it. Like, that's my kind of sport. but as far as like following professional sports goes, like I'll watch the NBA playoffs. I tune in for the Super Bowl. I had a fantasy team this year, so I actually like kind of paid attention to football this year.
Yeah.
It's always fun, but like as a college kid, I typically use my Sundays to catch up on all the homework that I need. And so it's not often spent watching football. So.
Right. Right. Okay.
But growing up, I was a Patriots kid. So that's going to get me a lot of hate. So
I just thought
I'd throw that out.
Still a Patriots fan, or how's that?
Here's the thing. I was a really big Tom Brady fan, and like I still am.
Not loyal. Oh man, you're losing me here. You're a fake Patriots fan. That's like I can't even.
No, here's the thing. I grew up loving the Patriots mostly because Tom Brady was on it. I still love the Patriots just because I've been a fan of the team for so long.
Okay.
But I'm also still a fan of Tom Brady. So
I think that's fair. I think he left pretty peacefully. Like I feel like Patriots fans are on good terms with Tom Brady. Like there's not a lot of beef. There's like
yes.
There's like this passive aggressive beef, but like it's low key. It's not like super real.
Brady won the separation. Just throwing that out there.
All right, Cy Robinson. The floor is yours. What hot take do you have? I mean, we've been a little stingy here with Star Wars and some earlier takes. What do you got for me?
Oh yeah, sorry for all my previous hot takes. I didn't know what hot takes I had, so I asked my roommate, and he said I'm very opinionated. So, I think In-N-Out is average at best. They do a good burger, but their fries are trash. So like 3 out of 5 stars. Black licorice is fantastic. That's my hot take. I love black licorice.
Wow. Are you German? Yeah. Where'd you get the black licorice? Do you like so what are we talking, just like any black licorice, like jelly beans or whatever? Or are we like the hardcore, like I want it to not even taste sweet, like I want it to taste like I'm drinking gasoline, sort of like black licorice?
Oh boy. Probably all of the above. Like I love black licorice jelly beans. Mm. Those are so good. And I don't know why everybody gives them so much hate.
I think it's because you can't it interrupts the flow, you know what I mean? It's not even like the it's beef with the flavor, but like when you have a black licorice jelly bean, like all of a sudden the next like 2 minutes of your life are dedicated to that jelly bean, and any other jelly bean that you eat is going to be like tainted by that black licorice. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I see that. I can. You're the first person to make any sense as far as why black licorice isn't as popular as it should be.
And it's gross. But no, it's fine. My mom loves black licorice. My girlfriend fake loves it. I don't know. I've never seen her eat it, but she claims that she likes it. This In-N-Out take that you have is, I'm a little bit offended. I don't think that you're actually that far off base. I just think that In-N-Out is the most misunderstood fast food restaurant that we have. Like, I feel like all these people from a state that isn't California want to be from a state that is California. And this is like their way to like latch their opinion. Like they can hook their wagon to something Californian and just ride it home. And they're like, wow, I did it. I'm a Californian. And like Californians don't think like ridiculously highly of In-N-Out. It's just that it's the cheap quality burger place that people go after football games. Like, this is not like a situation where it's like, oh my gosh, like I will live and die for In-N-Out. It's just like that burger is really good. I think it's like, if you compare it to other fast food, like substantially better than like a McDonald's, like a Wendy's, like it's a legit good burger. And it's like about the same price, if not cheaper. I will agree with you, those fries are garbage though. As you're a potato expert from Blackfoot, I know.
Oh yeah. I mean, give me a Five Guys over In-N-Out any day.
See, I don't think those are the same tier. Like, I don't know why we're comparing those. Like, I think that, because I pay 2 to 3 times as much at Five Guys. So, like, of course, the product is, like, better than the other product. I'm paying twice as much.
I mean, I don't have anything to rebuttal.
I silence the critic.
I mean, I don't go to either enough to have knowledge about how expensive it is. I haven't been to Five Guys in a long time.
I'm doing a victory lap on this one because I feel like there's been a lot. I feel like this is just a misunderstanding, everybody. Like, why can't we just be friends? Like, In-N-Out and Five Guys, we can coexist.
I agree. But I feel like people hype up In-N-Out far too much. Everybody's like, In-N-Out can do no wrong. And it's like, have you had the fries? They did wrong.
They did something very, very wrong. I don't disagree with you. I think we could all be friends. Let's all be friends, Si.
What's your Star Wars hot take?
Star Wars hot take?
That's what I want to know.
I guess I'll run this by you. You tell me if it's a hot take. I think that 7 is the second best Star Wars movie.
Interesting.
Is that a hot take?
Oh, probably.
Have you rewatched it? So, like, I tried to rewatch 9, like, a couple months after, and it was overwhelming. I was like, I was tired like 20 minutes in. I'm like, this is too much. And I quit because I was like, this is boring. I had the opposite experience with 7. I started 7 over and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. And then I was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. Like, do you remember when Kylo Ren catches the
blaster bolt?
The blaster bolt. Like, that alone is like so dope a moment. And then like the whole story arc of like each character is pretty awesome. And like, I think a lot of people hate it because they're like, oh, it's just 4 2.0. I'm like, it's better. Like, I don't know how to tell. Like, I'm more invested. And then I think it'll probably be the last – I say this with no faith, but it was one of the last national daily impact movies that I can remember. I remember everybody seeing that like 2 to 5 times. And I remember – everyone looking at you if you hadn't seen it, be like, you haven't seen it yet. And then turning to everybody else in the room and going, don't tell him. Like, that was like a moment in society. And man, I don't know. Is that a hot take? Does that count?
I think that would probably be a hot take because most people tend to like an entire trilogy or the like 3 and 5 and one of the prequels and then like 7.
Right.
Gets shafted and 7 gets lower on the lists.
I think it goes 5, 7. And then from there, it's kind of a toss up between 3, 4, and 6. I think 6 should be the best one, except that when you rewatch it, you remember that there's literally like an hour of Ewoks, and that's just an excruciating experience. So
what's wrong with the Ewoks? I feel like Ewoks get unfairly trashed.
When have you seen? When was the last time you saw Six?
It's been too long.
No, look, because like it's literally like because like it's like ramping up. Like the speed of the movie is like picking up, and it's like the night before we're gonna do this like all out raid on the Death Star, and then like they chill with the Ewoks. You're like, oh, this is like the night before scene. It's gonna be like, you know, 10 minutes, maybe like a little drama here or there, and it's like it's a hard 45. It's like, oh, we're doing Ewoks right now. Like this, it's like it's super bizarre. George Lucas is like just a weird stoner man. I don't know how he gets to where he gets. But what's your Star Wars hot take?
I don't know if I mean Han shot first 100%, and I don't think that they should have written it any other way. Like upon all of the reshoots or like rewrites.
Yeah.
They always make it like Guido shot first, and no, Han shot first. That's just how it is. Ahsoka's a fantastic character.
Ooh.
I don't like the name Grogu, I'll be honest. I'll throw that out there.
I don't like Ahsoka that much. Not that I don't like her. I'm just good. Like the arc is completed. Like are we're doing a show now too? Like she's made cameos in like every Star Wars that there is, and now like I'm supposed to watch another series about her? Like I'm good.
Oh, I love Ahsoka. She's probably one of my favorite Star Wars characters.
Do you think that we're going to rescue Grogu in the Mandalorian season finale? Or do you think that he will... Do you think Grogu dies? High key, when I saw The Tragedy was the name of that episode, I was like, am I about to lose Baby Yoda right now? I was devastated. But anyway.
I don't think Baby Yoda will die. I feel like there will be some sort of tragedy, and it's going to be like separation. Like we finally see another Jedi get introduced that takes Grogu and then leaves with him.
I'd be interested to see. That's actually, because that's my favorite part about this finale, is that he was doing that little force thing on that hill, which means that like a Jedi's gonna go find him. So now we're gonna have Mando and his team and a Jedi go attack this room. Man, this turned into the Star Wars podcast. Anyway, Shy
Honestly,
Robinson.
I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I could talk all day, but for Cy Robinson, I'm Josh Harris. This has been the Turnaround Day Podcast.